Thank you, everyone, for joining us here today. Isabel and I will be jointly presenting this, as we're here to talk about the ISO standard, but representing the Standards Council of Canada. So I am Marnie Peters. And so Accessible Tourism for All, a global effort. And so yesterday, Marina from the UNWTO and today Ivor from ENAT both touched on the fact that ISO is currently developing a standard on accessible tourism. And so our working group is actually part of a broader ISO technical committee, 228, Tourism and Related Services. And so the scope of this entire technical committee is the standardization of the terminology and specifications of the services offered by tourism service providers for activities, destinations, facilities, equipment, to provide tourism buyers, providers, and consumers with the criteria for making informed decisions when it comes to the tourism sector. And so, oops, I should just move on with my slides. I forgot I'm in charge. So as you can see, there are a number of different working groups. So working group on diving services, health and tourism services, adventure tourism, yacht harbors, boat charter services, sustainable tourism. We're here mostly to talk about today working group 14, accessible tourism. And then there's additional working groups on accommodation and restaurants. So from all those working groups, there's approximately 26 different standards. And while there's only one that's really focused on accessible tourism, it's part of our mandate with the Standards Council of Canada to actually comment on all 26 of those standards. And so we review them for the technical information related to those specific areas, but also because we want all those different areas to also be thinking about universal design and accessibility. So we want to make sure that people in diving services are thinking, hey, what happens if I have a scuba diver who's a paraplegic? Or when it comes to the health tourism services, yesterday there was a presentation about spa services and how they're not doing a very good job addressing the needs of people with different disabilities. And so as we comment on those standards, we look at the technical things related to those specific areas, but also how can they do a better job of incorporating accessibility. So with respect to Working Group 14, Accessible Tourism, there are 40 experts representing different national standards bodies from over 20 countries. So in addition to our standards bodies, there's also liaison organizations such as ENAT and HOTREC representing different, I don't want to call them special interest groups, but they're representing specific sectors within tourism, because it's important that when we're developing a standard that addresses accessible tourism, it's not we're not setting goals that the industry can't meet. We want it to be a collaborative approach where all the different stakeholders have the opportunity to have their input, make their comment, and we talk about what's achievable and maybe areas that might be more difficult. So when we talk about the goal of accessible tourism, the goal of this particular standard is to provide clear guidelines and detailed recommendations. So on policy making and strategic frameworks, so what do we want different sort of government ministries and organizations that the tourist promotion organizations to be doing, and also on specific characteristics related to tourist-related infrastructure, products and services. So we want guidelines for the full range of stakeholders, from travel agents to service providers, managers of services and programs that address facility accessibility. So it's actually quite broad. So when we talk about designing accessible services, so there's a photo on the screen, and it's just a picture of a website from a travel service provider. So you could go on there, book your flight, your hotel, and everything like that. So we want to make sure that each supplier adequately addresses access requirements. And so in a case like this, we want to make sure that the service provider has an accessible website. So you can navigate using different methods. You know, it's not just based on sight and the ability to use a mouse. We want to make sure that when they have a service listed like a hotel, that they say, this is what's accessible, or they say what's not accessible. We want suppliers to be able to cooperate with each other upstream and downstream in the value chain to make sure there's an unbroken chain of accessibility for the customer. So for example, when I call a travel tour operator to book my itinerary, I call them and I say, I'm a paraplegic, this is what I need, this is what I need your help with, that I know that they're going to tell the airline that I'm a carry-on passenger and that they're going to tell the hotel to book me the wheelchair accessible room. And so we want to make sure that the value chain isn't broken when we give information to somebody within privacy rules, that they share the necessary information up and down that chain.
And within the standards core sections, they address issues applicable to all stakeholders regardless of sector. So that means for each sector there will be information and communication subject, design of the built environment, staff training, and design of services. And you have an example here of a good practice with the picture where you see that the description is at the right level to be read by everybody. And there's also a tactile example on the side where people can actually touch the sculpture. And so it's more universal and it can be good for everybody. And then you have, regarding physical accessibility, again, you have here a good practice example. It's a heritage building. It has the steps in the front, but the steps transform into a platform that can elevate the person in a wheelchair. So the provision of the ISO 21542 building construction, accessibility and usability of the built environment are applicable to this standard, our standard, being developed. So that means because some countries have an advanced level of technical specification and construction, and they need to be, they have to be known, and countries must follow national, local codes and standards. So you have to take into account the overall jurisdiction of the country or the area you're talking about. And regarding staff training, too often that's something that is forgotten. That and it's been shown by a lot of studies that what's keeping a lot of people from traveling, it's not just the built environment, but it's also the way they are greeted by people, feeling like they are a burden or feeling like they're not welcome because they have a special needs. So you have an example here in the picture of a bad service. At first it looks like it's just somebody being served by somebody else, but if you look carefully, the person in the wheelchair can barely see the person behind the desk, and the same thing for the person behind the desk. So a proper way of acting would have been for the staff to come to either at least stand up, but if not, just to go around the counter to serve that person. So definitely very important to make it a barrier-free experience to have the training of the staff for better communication and in order to achieve a constant improvement of services to all customers.
So in addition to the core competencies that Isabel mentioned in terms of built environment, staff training, and the provision of information in accessible formats, there are some very sector-specific sections to the standard. And they relate to policies and strategies for the public sector, transport, urban spaces, leisure activities, MICE, which is meetings, conventions, exhibitions, and accommodation. As well as food and beverage services and tour operators and travel agencies. And so even as part of this event, as an example, we all kind of needed some of all those things. We needed transport, we needed accommodation. While we're here, we have food and beverage as part of the convention and the way they're providing service to us overall. And so there's some specific accessibility provisions that each of those sectors need to address in addition to the core competencies. When we talk about policies and strategies, it's that we like to think of those elements as being at a sort of a higher level, so national tourism administrations in charge of policymaking and regulatory instruments. So those are often sort of at the federal or state, provincial levels. The national tourism administrators in charge of policymaking and promotion, destination management organizations in charge of marketing at different levels. And we also talk about other regional and local governments, including municipal governments, who are in charge of sort of more local leisure and tourism activities, but also the infrastructure that's plays such a large part in whether or not a tourist destination is accessible. You know, sometimes we think, oh, it's the federal ministry or you know, the higher levels of promotion and marketing, but really when it comes to whether or not I can actually go visit a place, it's did the local municipalities actually make the built environment accessible? Go ahead.
Yeah, regarding transport, accessibility and transport shall be considered in three main sectors. Because sometimes we forget that we don't just need local transportation, but we need means of transport used to travel to and from any destination, means of transport used to travel within the destination, and also means of transport for connections. And you have the two good examples. We have the picture of the aircraft on the tarmac, and with a very well done ramp so that it's not too steep and you don't have to go down the steps and get the bumpy road down the steps. And the other good example is of a train station or a train wagon where you can see the person is coming out and it doesn't need a ramp to be put in and out every time the person comes in or wants to go out. And the next thing is accommodation. There's so difficult to find a uniform way of looking at accommodation. So there are various types. There are hostels, lodgings, beds and bed and breakfast, camping site, guest houses, log cabins, cottages. So there's lots of ways to think about it, but it's not standardized yet. And the reservation management system need to take into account these information as prioritized, not as just an extra need. And basic information on rooms and facilities should be definitely easier to find. And that's what the picture is showing, really, is like a good room where there's plenty of room to maneuver with your wheelchair and to either go for the shower or use the toilet. Everything is really planned to make it easier.
So currently the standard, which will be known as ISO 21902, so it already has its number. The overall committee is still working on the final title. It's currently called Accessible Tourism for All. A number of names have been sort of put forward in terms of what it will finally be called. So we've been through several stages. We're at stage three, which is a committee draft, which is now under consideration. A draft came out. All the national standards bodies had the opportunity to submit comments, and all those comments will be reviewed by the whole committee. So those comments will be put forth, and the next meeting is actually at the end of the month in Limassol in Cyprus. It's a two-day meeting, and the working group will all get together and go through each comment and discuss whether the change is accepted or not accepted. To sort of progress it to finally become a standard in the end. So as Ivor mentioned, the standard is due out sometime next year.